This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His guidance. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and messenger. So, sisters, today we're going to be looking at our salah. We're going to be focusing on the salah. As you might remember from my last talk, one of the things that I mentioned is one of the key ways of staying away from temptation and staying on the straight path is guarding certain things. So the first thing that I mentioned was guarding the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran the purpose of our creation. He says, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create human beings, nor the jinn, who are other beings that Allah has created, except to worship me. So this is the purpose of our creation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, indeed, I am Allah, there is no deity, there is nothing worthy of worship except me. So establish prayer for my remembrance. He is calling us to do the exact thing for which He created us. So this is what the salah is. This is the importance of the salah. It is our connection with the divine. It's our connection with Allah. We are blessed in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the way in which to connect with our Creator directly, right? So when you look at the Catholic tradition, for example, you see that people tend to not connect with God directly. They have to go through some intermediary. They have to go through some saints. They have to go through Mary or Jesus, right? They can't contact their Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. But this is the exact thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to remove from the hearts of human beings. That we don't need anyone in between us and God. We don't need to confess our sins, you know, to a priest. We don't even need to confess our sins to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the one who has the ability to forgive us has that ability directly. He doesn't need anyone in between. And in fact, He is angered when we call on other people besides Him, saying that, you know, they are just intermediaries. And this is exactly what the mushrikeen in Mecca used to say. They believed in Allah, right? They said, yes, we know that there's Allah, the creator, the ultimate creator of the heavens and the earth. But we just worship these idols because they help us to become closer to God. They will intercede for us. Yeah. So we are blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this salah, this way of praying, which allows us to access Him directly. It's our telephone call with Him every single day, 5 times a day, directly, without anyone translating or, you know, being in between. So it's our connection with Allah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he became a prophet, he was, you know, up to the age of 40, he never worshipped idols. And he was always calling on God. He was always calling on Allah and supplicating to Allah. And he wanted to know what is the best way to worship his Lord. And this is why, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the salah so much. In fact, he used to say, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that the coolness of my eyes has been given to me in the prayer. So anytime he wanted to Anytime he had something that he was worried about, anytime he had a difficulty, even anytime he had some good news, the thing he wanted to do was engage with Allah. This is the kind of position that Salah had in his life. We know that initially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet 50 prayers for us to pray. 50 prayers. On the night when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to the heavens, the Isra and Mi'raj, when he reached the highest heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly gave him for his nation 50 prayers that they should pray. And we know that every time he came down, and he was coming back down, he would meet the Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, peace be upon him. And the Prophet Moses kept saying to him, how many prayers were you given? And he said, 50 prayers. And the Prophet Moses said, no, your people will never be able to do that. But he knew people, so, and he would say to the Prophet, I know the nature of human beings, and let me tell you, your people will never be able to do 50 prayers. Go back and ask Allah to reduce the number. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ kept going back, and every time he came back down, Musa ﷺ said to him, no, that's still too much. That's still too much. Until eventually, Allah had reduced the number of prayers to 5. Okay? And then that was it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will pray 5, but I will give them the reward of 50. Okay? Subhanallah. So already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the number of prayers. And my sisters, when we look at this, we must realize that it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs our prayers. Allah the Creator, He doesn't need us, He doesn't need anything from us. Yeah, as in the hadith, in the famous hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all of you were to gather, right, and to be as good as the best person amongst you, that would not increase Allah's kingdom one little bit. It wouldn't increase Allah's kingdom. And if all of us were to gather and become the worst, like the worst soul amongst us, then that would not decrease Allah's kingdom. Right? It is for our own good. It's for us that we need to pray. It's for us and our own peace of mind, our own salvation that we need to pray. And this salah, okay, that we've gotten so used to, is so important that that even at times of war, when people are in the middle of war, the obligation of salah isn't lifted. That's amazing, isn't it? Subhanallah. When you study the fiqh of salah, you find that even in at times of war, even on the front line, the soldiers, they are told to take shifts, you know. So half of them pray while the other half fight, and the other half pray while the other half fight. Subhanallah. That just shows you how important the status of salah is in Allah's eyes. Even when a person is ill. In fact, apart from menstruation, there is really no excuse for a person not to pray. Even if a person can't pray standing, he can pray sitting. If a person can't pray sitting, they're told, you can pray lying down. Yeah, by just, you know, ishara, just making indications. Even if a person has lost the use of all of their limbs and only their eyes move, they can pray with their eyes. Subhanallah. Just by blinking and by imagining and by doing the postures in that way and saying the words or thinking the words. So it's like, you know, subhanallah, there is no situation in which the salah is not still obligatory upon the human being. Salah has been mentioned in the Quran about 500 times. This really shows you the importance of this pillar of Islam. The first thing we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is the Salah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing that the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be called to account for on the Day of Judgment is their prayer. If it was good, then the person's deeds will also be good. And if it was bad, the person's deeds will have been bad. On his deathbed, the Prophet ﷺ, the thing that he kept repeating was, as-salah, as-salah, the prayer, the thing that he was most concerned about and the thing that he exhorted us to the most. Don't leave the prayer. In fact, he said that between a person and shirk and kufr, so between a person and polytheism and disbelief, is the prayer. To the extent that some of the Sahaba, when there was a person who passed away and they were not somebody who prayed, they would not pray the Salatul Janazah over that person. They would not consider that person to be a Muslim. I really want to bring home to you, you know, the importance of this pillar of Islam. Okay, as soon as a person enters Islam, the salah becomes obligatory on them, as much as they can do it. You know, they don't know Arabic, they don't know the actions, they just do some adhkar, do some dhikr, and they can do the postures. But as soon as they become Muslim, this prayer becomes obligatory. And the salah is the last thing that will be raised from the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ told us that Islam will disintegrate piece by piece. As soon as one part goes, people will cling to the next part. And he said the first thing to go will be fair judgment, meaning justice. And the last of them is as-salah. So really it is the idea, it's like the defining characteristic of the Muslims. So what are the benefits of the salah for us? And this is a refresher for us. Sometimes we forget. SubhanAllah, I was reading in one book, one of the scholars said that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent food down onto this earth, okay, was so that human beings would have enough sustenance to nourish themselves, to be able to pray, to be able to establish the prayer. This is the asal yani reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending food down. Because as we said, He created us to worship. So when we're not fulfilling the purpose of our creation, it is us ourselves who suffer. It's ourselves who actually feel the emptiness. Sometimes when you read about people who seem to have it all, right? They have fame, they have money, they have everything. In fact, they're loved by people on this earth. And then you hear that, oh, they kill themselves, or you know, they're depressed, they go to these clinics in order to cure their extreme depression, etc. Okay, you wonder, what is it that they're missing? Because they're living the dream, right? They're living the life that society tells all of us is the ultimate road to happiness. Be famous, be rich, be beautiful. What else do you want, right? And yet they have a deep emptiness. And that emptiness is an emptiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed a person will have if they do not have Allah in their lives. There's an emptiness that will never be filled except by worshipping Allah. Because that's a human instinct that we have. So the salah protects our Islam. That's the first thing of benefit that the salah gives us. The Prophet ﷺ said that, we've already mentioned this hadith, that what lies between a man and disbelief is the abandonment of prayer. So the prayer actually protects the core of our belief, right? So, you know, sometimes when somebody becomes a Muslim or they're coming closer to Islam, even if they were brought up as Muslims, we start emphasizing to them other aspects of Islam. So we might sit there talking to them about hijab. We might sit there and talk to them about some other aspect of Islam, interest or whatever. Now, what we're doing is we're emphasizing the wrong thing. Because even Aisha radiallahu anha, when she described the way in which Islam was revealed, she said, initially, the verses that were revealed were all about Allah. They were about the punishment of the hellfire. They were about paradise. They exhorted people to prayer. Then later on, Allah revealed the verses that said, do this and don't do this. Right? Stop drinking alcohol. I mean, these things were actually legislated much later on. And she said, if Allah had told people right from the beginning to stop drinking alcohol, stop fornicating, then people would have said, we will never stop. We can never stop and we will never stop. So you see, there is this tadarruj, there is this kind of order in which to develop the Muslim character. And the first thing we should be emphasizing, whether it's with ourselves, our family members, new Muslims, is the prayer. Not the hijab, not any other aspect. Those things also are commands of Allah's, of course. But what we've done is we've flipped things upside down and started emphasizing those things, when really, once a person establishes the prayer and they become closer to Allah, naturally they will want to obey Allah, and naturally they will start, inshallah, observing hijab, you know, staying away from haram, etc. You see? So we should really be going for the most important thing, which is the salah. The salah makes us closer to Allah. Because as the Prophet ﷺ said, a servant is nearest to his Lord when he is in sajda. Right? So the nearest point at which we can be with God is when we're prostrating with our heads on the floor in a complete state of humility. Now there's a difference between humility and humiliation. Sometimes people think humility, it's like, oh, you're humiliating. No, those are two different words. Okay, humiliation means, you know, to debase yourself and to be lowly. Humility means to be humble. And the most humble you could be is literally to put yourself, your head, the crown of your body, right? The most noble part of your body, to put that on the floor in humility, in a humble state in front of Allah. Your creator, the one who gave you life, who gave you everything that you have. You know, every single thing on this earth was put into place, and even in this universe, was put into place just so that we could have even something as simple as a glass of water. When you read about the magnetosphere, right? This huge layer that protects the earth from the sun's rays, okay? The magnetosphere. What happens is that the sun's rays, when they hit the earth, if the magnetosphere wasn't there, they would cause all of the water on earth to evaporate. You should look it up, by the way. It's amazing. Just look it up on YouTube. Dr. Brian Cox, I think. And just type magnetosphere. It's absolutely amazing. You realize that Allah loved you so much and blessed you. Just to be able for you to be able to have that glass of water, He needed to create, and He did create, the magnetosphere, He created this, He created that, so many things, just so that water would be available for us. All this He did for us. Of course we want to worship Him. Of course He deserves to be worshipped. It also expiates our sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, if there was a river at your door, and any one of you took a bath 5 times a day, would there be any dirt left? No, there would not be any dirt left. And so he said, this is the example of the 5 prayers. Allah blots out evil deeds through those prayers. It gives us peace of mind. You know, any time you want to, you want a sense of tranquility, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many problems you feel that you have, make 2 units of prayer. Go down in sajda, and during that sajda, cry to Allah. Tell Him, even though He knows, tell Him all of the problems. Tell Him how you feel from the bottom of your heart. I guarantee that after that, Allah will give you some peace of mind. So the salah is also a conversation between us and Allah. Just 1 second. It's also a conversation between us and Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, that, you know, when we're doing our Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Allah says that He divided the prayer between Himself and His servant. Half of it is for Him and half of it is for His servant. And so when we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and thanks be to Allah, Lord of all of existence, then Allah actually replies to us when we say that in our salah. And He says, my servant has praised me. He acknowledges that. Then when we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant has glorified me. Then when we say Malik Yawm al-Din, master of the day of judgment, he says, my servant again has glorified me. Then when we say, you alone we worship, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone do we worship and you alone do we ask help. Do we ask for help? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is between me and my servant. My servant will get what they seek, what he seeks. And then when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, guide us to the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the way of those on whom you have granted your grace, not the way of those who earned your anger, nor of those who went astray. Then Allah says, this is for my servant, and my servant shall have what he asked for. So every time we are making that salah, and we're even just reciting Surah Fatiha, Allah is replying to us. We are having an intimate conversation with our Lord. The salah prevents us from evil deeds. So if a person, for example, is finding it hard to stay away from sins, stay away from temptations, the number one thing that they should focus on is their salah. Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that the salah prevents a person from fahsha, which is like shameless evil deeds, and munkar, general evil deeds. It prevents you from doing those things. So even if you know somebody, for example, who is involved in sin, who is having relations outside of marriage, for example, involved in major sins like that, and they don't pray, the first thing you should be emphasizing to them is not, you could, if you have that relationship, to encourage them not to have that, if they're involved in fornication or adultery. But the main thing you should be focusing with them is their relationship with Allah, encouraging them to pray. Because that in itself will prevent them from doing those other evil things. We're going to talk about the levels of salah. Okay, because we sometimes, when we've been praying for a long time, we become a bit lazy, becomes a little bit robotic maybe. So we want to prevent that. And we want to take a look at our salah and kind of give it a bit of an overhaul. So I'm going to give this sheet out. I'm going to give that to you. Now, the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah, that mankind with regards to salah, with regards to their prayer, is of five levels. Okay? He said the first level is the level of one who is negligent, neglectful, and wrongs his soul. He is the one who falls short in performing ablution properly, performing, in other words, the wudu, performing the prayer upon its time and within its specified limits, and also its pillars. So that's a very neglectful person. That's the first level. The second level is the one who guards his prayer upon the proper times, within the specified limits, fulfills the essential pillars and performs his ablution with care. However, his striving is wasted because constantly throughout his prayer, he's not thinking about the prayer. He's affected by the whisperings of shaitan and he's just not even thinking. The third, the one who guards his prayer within specified limits, okay, fulfills the pillars and strives to avoid the whisperings of shaitan, okay, but he's so busy trying to fight off the thoughts that shaitan gives him that, you know, it's very difficult for him. And so, in a way, he is engaged, not just in salah, he's also engaged in jihad, struggle. Because he's really, really sincerely trying hard. The fourth is the one who stands for the prayer, completes and perfects it, and gives it its due rights, its essential pillars, performs it within the specified limits, and his heart becomes engrossed in safeguarding its rights and specified limits, so that nothing is wasted from it. His whole concern is directed towards his salah, its completion and its perfection, as it should be. His heart is immersed in the prayer and in enslavement to his Lord. That's the fourth level. And the fifth level, the highest level, he said, is the one who stands for prayer, just like the one in level 4, but he has such a connection with Allah that it is as if he has placed his heart in front of his Lord, the mighty and majestic, looking towards him with his heart, with anticipation. His heart is filled with love and his might, as if he sees and witnesses Allah. So he's just completely engrossed in thinking about Allah and his love for Allah. The whisperings, thoughts and ideas have vanished, and the coverings which are between him and his Lord are raised. What is between this person and others with respect to the prayer is superior and greater than what is between the heavens and the earth. This person is busy with his Lord, the mighty and majestic, delighted with him. So Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned these 5 levels, and we're going to, I've made my own kind of levels, okay, because I think probably most people in our times are between the first and third level of Ibn al-Qayyim, you know. The fourth and fifth are like, subhanAllah. And sometimes in our times we're struggling with just the first 3 levels. So what I want you to do now, in the next, how many questions are there? 11. I think in the next 4 minutes, really, it really shouldn't take long. In the next 4 minutes, then, I would like you to just quickly fill out this. This is a completely private questionnaire, by the way, just for you. It's just for you. So if you just quickly just circle or tick next to the answer that is closest to what where you are at, if you like, okay? Because it might not be exactly where you are at, but the answer that is closest to where you are at in every single question, and then we will look at the results, inshallah. So I'm just going to give you 4 minutes. When I ask the sheikh, you know, sometimes at Fajr time, a person might switch the alarm off. They might find it really hard to wake up for Fajr. What should they do? He said, you need to just say to yourself, I am a servant of Allah. I am a slave of Allah. I don't have a choice. This is what Allah has commanded me to do. I have to obey Him. Right? So it's not about whether it makes you feel good or not, actually. That's not what it's really about. It's about obeying the command of the one who created you and gave you everything that you have. So you need to tell that to yourself. He's given you everything. He has given you everything without you even asking for it. So for you to neglect this basic command, okay, is a huge injustice. You were created to worship Allah as He has commanded, and salah is absolutely essential to your being a Muslim. Okay, so you really need to realize that. That some of the scholars would even regard you as having gone outside of the fold of Islam if you're really neglecting prayer to that extent. You're purposefully missing prayers. So really, sometimes, you know, we need to be afraid. Of course, we need to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the punishments as well. It's not just about sugarcoating everything. This is why I'm mentioning it to you in that way. Realize that Allah loves His servants to repent to Him and turn to Him. So no matter how many sins you've done, even if you've been extremely neglectful of the prayer, there's always hope for you. Okay, make a new commitment to Allah from now, from today. And look at the areas of your life that are probably suffering as a result of your neglect of Allah's rights. A person who can't take care of the rights of Allah cannot really take care of anyone's rights. This is what I said to a sister once who came, and she said, you know, she was considering marrying somebody and he didn't pray. But he was a very good man, but he just didn't pray. I said, how can he be a good man if he doesn't establish the prayer? If he can't fulfill the rights of Allah, how will he really, when things get tough, why would he fulfill your rights? So take a fresh look at your life. Are you, for example, in the right sort of job? Are you in the right sort of company? Are your friends encouraging you or discouraging you from praying? It's really important to be around people who pray, around people who take Allah seriously. Did you know that many public places actually have prayer facilities? Or actually, I don't know about Ireland. But in Britain, okay, I even went to the town hall, you know, Boris Johnson, town hall. And they've even got, it's not called a town, it's called City Hall, right? City Hall. you know, that funny shaped building in London. And there they actually have a prayer room where, you know, as Muslims, we just went, we just asked. Okay, it might not be like that in Ireland, okay? But it can become like that, okay? If you as Muslims, if we as Muslims, as people who pay taxes, who contribute to society, yeah, who are citizens, actually ask people, don't be embarrassed to say to people, you know, if you don't mind, you have somewhere, a quiet place where I could pray. Believe me, if enough Muslims say that enough times, eventually they'll even make a room. They'll set a room aside for that prayer. And even if they didn't do that, we have to put Allah first. So, listen to also lectures about the importance of salah. Read about the importance of salah. Check if you're keeping the right sort of company. We mentioned that. Hold yourself up to the right standard. You know, the five prayers have got to be non-negotiable in our lives. They, you know, if you look at any area of your life in which you're really successful, it's probably because that thing that you're successful at became a complete must for you, right? Non-negotiable must. And that's why you're successful in that area. So in the same way, you need to make salah a non-negotiable must. If you don't know how to pray, perhaps this is what's stopping you, right? You don't actually know how to pray, you've forgotten how to pray, nobody really taught you how to pray. So, you know, inshallah, Allah will only hold you responsible for what you know. So if you were unable to until now, now is the time to go to some sisters who do know how to pray, to spend an evening, ask them to spend an evening with you, going through the salah, or enroll into a course, or go online. You can go to the website muslimnow.org, and there are videos that teach you about salah. The best thing is to have a real person who kind of goes through it with you. And start praying. Make a commitment to start praying. Even if it's only doing the postures and saying a few words of remembrance because you don't know anything else. Okay. Join a Quran reading class as well. So that's really for the people who got mostly A's. For the people who got mostly B's, I'll say that a person in that category is sinking. And really needs to make changes, because that person is kind of on the verge, you know, on the edge, falling into major sins once in a while, which is bad enough, and heading for Allah's wrath. Okay? So as you can see, this workshop is not about sugarcoating things, right? We're just really, sometimes we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves in order to change. So your attitude towards salah, if you mainly got B's, needs to change. Okay? Perhaps you're looking at it as something that's just an extra, or just something you'll do when it's convenient. It's not like that. You need to plan your life around the salah, not just fit the salah in when it's convenient. Yeah? In fact, there'll be times when it's inconvenient. As one of the brothers in our office, he was saying that he used to get annoyed when people for prayer used to knock and in the middle of a meeting and say, you know, this is a Muslim organization, obviously. And they used to say, you know, come for prayer. And he was thinking, well, you know, we've got time. Why don't you just wait for the meeting to finish and then interrupt us, right? But then he realized that, no, salah is meant to be an interruption. Do you see? The salah is actually meant to interrupt the whatever you're engrossed with in your day. It's meant to say, stop. And you see that really evidently when you see a child, for example, your children playing computer games or watching something or... Yeah, and you tell them to pray. It's like, how can we just completely stop? But it's something we need to train them with as well. The ability to press pause for the sake of Allah. Pause your day. Go, make wudu, pray, give yourself to Allah in what He has asked you to do, and then return to that thing that you were doing. Right? So salah is meant to be an interruption. Sometimes it will be inconvenient, but in the long term, it's giving you something much more. Read about the punishments for missing the salah. Sometimes we need to read these verses of the Quran. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Allah says. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Woe to the musalleen. And some scholars said, whale is an actual place in the hellfire. That place is for the musallin. No, not for the musallin, sorry. For the musallin who, alladhina hum an salatihim sahun, who are neglectful of their prayers. So they pray, but they're neglectful of their prayers. They have a special place in the hellfire. Alladhina hum yura'un, who only pray in order to show off, to show people, right? They don't really pray seriously for the sake of Allah. So you're in a really in a dangerous zone. Realize that this is actually probably affecting other areas of your life. Check if you're keeping the right sort of company. Again, yeah, companions are really important. If their attitude towards salah is lax, probably that's going to rub off on you. Make friends with people who establish the prayer seriously. Friends who stop you from praying are no friends in reality. You know, because they're not helping you with your spiritual well-being. Hold yourself up to a higher standard. Again, the five prayers have got to be non-negotiable. And again, you've got to attend some sort of class in order to be able to read the Quran fluently. The more you practice and the more you read the Quran, even if you just spend 15 minutes a day, however slow you are, just spend 15 minutes a day, you'll see your fluency increase. Or if you don't know how to read, learn how to read. It seems like a huge mountain at the moment, but believe me, if you just make your intention and go for it, you'll be on that mountain. You'll be on the top of that mountain very soon. So that's for people who mostly got B's. Mostly C's, I'll say that you're working hard to give salah its due right. Okay? You're struggling hard. But again, you're in danger of slipping into major sins. When you start thinking that, you know, if it's in, I'm too embarrassed to pray in public, even when the time is running out. You see, the time is very important for salah. It's not acceptable to just gather up all your prayers and pray them at the end of the day. That's not acceptable. You have to pray within the prayer times. So what you need to do is change that attitude again. Okay, you might not be missing salah completely, but you have a very relaxed attitude towards prayer times. And when you get into a bit of difficulty, you'd rather delay the prayer than pray on time. You know, this idea of combining the prayers, etc., it's not really meant to be for, you know, oh, I was out and about and it was just a little bit inconvenient. It's not meant to be for situations like that. It's supposed to be for really serious difficulties that you combine the prayers, right? Not just arbitrary, you know, oh, I'm about to miss it, so I'll just combine. It's not like that. Not meant to be like that at all. Okay, and it also seems that if you mostly got C's, that you might be a bit embarrassed by praying in public, or you might be seeing it as something not to do in front of others. But really, realize that people, all the time, they're asking for cigarette breaks, right? And they have their own, they have a right to pray. You know, that's part of the law, really, in Europe. So you have a right to ask people at work or people at college to allow you to pray. Learn the meaning of the salah. Learn some Arabic, or at least go through the meaning of the words of salah, the translation. Perhaps attend a course on the fiqh of salah so that you realize which things, which aspects of salah are absolutely essential. Okay, and increase the number of sunnah prayers you pray. Because the sunnah prayers, the extra prayers that we pray, apart from the fard, apart from the obligatory, they actually help protect the obligatory prayers. And if you got mostly D's, then I'd say that, mashallah, you're quite a diligent person with regards to your prayers. You plan your day around the salah carefully. You realize the importance of praying on time. And the best time to pray is at the earliest time, as we know. You strive to pray with concentration. Now, what you could do to take your salah to the next level is attend, again, a course or some class about the fiqh of salah. Fiqh is the laws and the rulings to do with salah, right? Start praying more of your sunnah prayers, the extra prayers. So that's like two units before Fajr, 4 units before Dhuhr, 2 units after Dhuhr, 2 units after Maghrib, 2 units after Isha. Pray the night prayer whenever you can. Make it a habit, preferably in the last third, and keep increasing on those, you know. So if you start off with one of the sunnah prayers, then start praying 2, then start praying 3, You know, just have that program of continuous improvement. Okay? And I, inshallah, what I will do is leave you with this thought. And this is with regards to the sunnah prayers. The reason why I'm emphasizing the extra prayers, apart from the five daily prayers, that if you've already established the five, let's move on now to actually establishing the sunnah prayers, if we haven't already, is that one of the Hanbali scholars, Al-Hajawi, he said that the likeness of faith, your iman, okay, your faith is like a city with five fortresses, so like five layers around it, okay? The first fortress, right in the middle, is of gold. The second is of silver. The third is of iron. The fourth is of baked bricks. And the fifth is of unbaked bricks. So long as the people of the city continue to defend the fortress of unbaked bricks on the outside, the enemy will not be able to get to the next layer. And then they will not be able to get to the next layer, etc. Right? So he said, but if you start neglecting the outer layer, then the enemy will penetrate and go to the next layer. You neglect that layer, they will penetrate to the next layer. So he said, faith is also defended. Your iman is also defended by five fortresses. And those five fortresses are, in the middle, right in the middle is yaqeen, your certainty and your faith in Allah. The second fortress is sincerity, your sense of sincerity and doing things only for the sake of Allah. The third layer, the third fortress is fulfilling and carrying out your obligations, meaning the fard, the obligatory, the five daily prayers, for example. Okay? So that's the third layer. The fourth layer is doing the sunnah acts, so doing the extra things, you see? Because, like I said, that protects you from, that protects your fard prayers from being harmed when you start doing the sunnah prayers. And the fifth, he said, is your manners and your etiquette, guarding your manners and etiquette. Okay, so he said, as long as one is mindful of his manners and etiquette, the devil can't penetrate to the next level. Okay, and then if the devil penetrates to the next level, he craves the sunnah acts, and then the obligatory acts, and then the sincerity, and then ultimately the certainty and yaqeen, the iman that you have in your heart. Okay, and this is why you see that many of the scholars of the past, when a person did not pray their sunnah prayers, they would not regard them as a pious person. You know, that really tells you, doesn't it? SubhanAllah. If we're even neglecting our fard prayers, where does that place us? So, inshallah, my sisters, I hope that that was a useful exercise. You know, might have been an eye-opening exercise for some of us. It definitely made me really take a fresh look at my salah in certain areas, definitely. So I hope that we take that away with us and make our own plan of action, okay, based on some of the advice that I gave. And if you want, you can talk to me afterwards if you've got a particular issue you want to talk about with your salah. And inshallah, with that, I will finish. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Takbir. Allahu Akbar.